Hello, all right, my kiddos. Check it out. This is a special edition part two in my interview with Sean Lloyd, the CEO and founder of the Fashion Mansion Group. So check it out, and I'll see you on the other side.
We are back after this break. I have my guest. His name is
Sean Lloyd.
All right, Sean. This is a new territory for me, as I was saying, and learning from you from the fashion industry and the whole business side of it. So go ahead and let's kind of, you know, how you develop in not only, like, basically you had a vision. So now with the term that we have today is, how did you start monetizing your vision? You said that you did were some comic books, and you were kind of doing your own little hustle.
Yeah, that was as a child. So now when I get older, I'm making a transition. Like, I'm in my late teens, like my early 20s. You know, I had, you know, drifted away from, like school and stuff like that. See, I got to explain that too, because, like, growing up, like, I was always, I was, like, a bright child. So, like, I was always, like, in the top classes and what have you, you know, from early out. Had the opportunity to go to Trinity Prep, but my mother, she couldn't, afford just the basic things for me to attend. And Trinity Prep is, like, a well-known school in New York City. Right. Had the opportunity to get skipped. That didn't happen because they took out the ninth grade. I supposed to got skipped from the seventh to the ninth grade. But when I got to the middle school, they took out the ninth grade. So when these things happen, they were like back-to-back kind of situations. And I kind of got like jaded with school. Like from early out, I was reading comprehension. Academically, like on a college level, like in third grade, where I was reading and comprehension skills on 12th grade level. So fast forward now, I was just getting caught up, you know, in the streets of New York, kind of like my focus wasn't there. So then when I woke up, I said, you know what? I got to get back focused because, you know, if it's like, if I don't do it now, it's going to be harder to do it later. So this is like in my
right. Like you feel like life is taking you and pulling you in another direction.
Yes. So I said, it's time for me to get things right. So I had dropped out of high school. I went and got my GED. And then I went and started attending college. I enrolled into college, community college.
Oh wow! Okay.
So now I get to college now.
This is you paying your own way to through college.
I had got financial aid because it was a community college. It was a community college, so I was able to get financial. I was qualified.
Yeah. Okay.
For financial aid. So I get there now. I take up art history because I say, you know what? I'm gonna get into fashion or something, you know, art or creative related. But no, I knew it was gonna be fashion, right? So I take up art history. That's my major. The professor, he gives us an assignment. This is like the fourth assignment he gave us. All the other assignments I had got A's on. This is the fourth assignment, and I got an A again. The lowest grade I ever got was an A- for this class. So now, this is a big part of the story. That's why I couldn't even skip over this part. So now, it's a medium they give us to work in. We were supposed to make like a collage where you cut out pictures, put them together, and it's supposed to invoke a feeling or emotions, or it has a meaning to it. So I got what he was trying to get out of us for us to do artistically. So everyone in the class, they pretty much everyone else, they just like cut out a bunch of cars, put them together, cut out a bunch of leaves, put them together, like a bunch of the same pictures and put them together. But that's not what he wanted. So out of the whole class, I was the only person to get an A. I got an A minus. He said, so now the rest of the kids in the class, they got like C's, C minuses. I was the only one to get an A. So Wow. So when he gives back the grades, he tells everybody, you know, Sean, he was the only one to get what I was trying to get you guys to do. He got an A. He got the highest grade. Everybody else got a C. Sean, come to the front of the class. So you can't make me come to the front of the class and show the artwork. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I had to show the
you
artwork.
You were the highlight of the class.
Yeah, yeah. It made me like the highlight of, yeah, for that day. So now he go on this tangent about I was the only one to get what he was saying or whatever like that, you know, for the class. So he sends me back, you know, to my seat. He's like, you can go back, sit down. He said, but I want you to, come after class. I'm like, what do you want me to come after class for?
Because what this guy wants with
yeah,
me?
Like what I do now. So now I go now after class. And the first thing come out of his mouth is, he said, what are you doing here? I'm like, what am I doing here? He said, yeah, what are you doing? He said, matter of fact, what is it you want to do? I said, what do you mean what I want to do? He said, career-wise, what are you going to school? What are you doing? What are you aspiring to do after this? So I was like, I want to get into fashion design. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now he's like, so why are you taking up art history? So I said, I look at fashion as art. It's like the body is a blank canvas.
Yes.
And you put on that canvas what you want to portray to the world. You create your art through the way you dress. You could dress for whatever mood, activity, or whatever like that. You know, you're painting your picture. So he's like, all right, that's a good answer. So he was like, you know what? I have kids, they come here, their parents, they pay money, whatever like that. And kids can't even draw a stick. He said, I can't tell you how to be creative. He said, either you got it or you don't. He said, I can't tell you how to be creative. You can tell you how to use different mediums, but you can't really tell. You can't teach someone to be. You can't teach a Picasso. You just give them the skills or different options of what they can use, but it's innately there. So he goes on. He's like, I don't think.
So you
need
already
this class.
Had artistically, you know, in you. You had
yes
that line.
Yes, because like going back to elementary, like going back. Even days at like elementary school, I used to compete on a scholastic level, like in art competitions. So that'll go on for like, it may be district, and then it'll turn into borough, and then it'll turn into state, you know, city, then state. So I've been through that before. You know, that was part of the reason how I almost, you know, had the opportunity to go to Trinity Prep. Which is the
right,
affluent school.
That was okay. That's what brought you there. Okay.
Yeah, that was part of, you know, just, you know, being bright and then being art, you know, having that, you know.
Oh, so you already had a curriculum
already.
Going on.
Yeah, so
yeah,
I didn't.
You had a curriculum.
It was just about molding it into, you know, finding out what is it exactly you want to do. Usually that's not brought out to of a child. Some people are groomed from early. Because they have the resources and the finances and they have the right people
correct.
To have around the children.
And the circumstances.
Yeah, to start
yes.
putting certain thoughts in their mind. And in the inner city, it's like you float through life and hopefully you figure something out before you get, you know, get too old. You know, it's like you want to figure out as early as possible. Which is,
you have to because you're in a survival mode. Yeah. And it's like, bless your mom because she did everything that she had to do. But then it's like, you know, it's that just making sure that you have a roof over your head, you know, and make sure that everything else is.
It's just the it's only but so much you can do. It's like not no males around, no father figure. It's only I'm a teenager now. It's only but so much you can tell me after a while. I did get to the point where I'm providing for the household, you know, certain things may be overlooked. You know, because they know the resources aren't there. So it was like you have to do what you have to do for survival, you know. So putting all these things together.
Thanks to that teacher.
Yeah, thanks to the teacher. Thanks to that teacher. But then it was like still like when they told me that, I still was on my own. I mean, before we even get to that, they was like, I can't, you know, you can't teach a person this. It's like either you got it or you don't.
No, creativity cannot be taught. Yeah, definitely. It's something that it's your gift. That's what, you know, you're here with us.
Yes. So the major part of this was too, was that he was saying you could go out and learn this. You could go out and learn it on your own, like to get involved as early as possible. So I'm like, he was like, do you have any, do you know people like in the fashion business? So that goes back to my friend earlier. The guy used to pick my brain all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I have a friend, he has a fashion brand and he, you know, I be working with him here and there. He said, there you
That's
go.
That's where the light bulb.
Yeah, he said, there the you go. Went off. He said, that's your mentor. Use that. Use that to your advantage. You have an advantage. Use it. So I remember going home after that, and I was thinking that because innately, like inside, I was kind of feeling like that already, but I wanted to go through with it because nobody up to that time never in my family had like I never graduated from college. So I was like, I wanted to just do this, you know, my bones, whatever like that. But innately in me, I was feeling like it was moving too slow for me, you know? So say like if I'm already on a 12th grade level in the third grade, now I'm in college, you really gonna have to keep me stimulated because my mind, I could take in a lot of information at once. So it's like I have to be stimulated. I have to be constantly, I can't keep regurgitating old stuff that I learned already. You know,
it was just boring. It was just boring.
Yeah, it was just boring. The school, the art was the best part of like attended dealing with the art class. You know, so now.
It's like, you know, and it's like we cannot blame ourselves. I totally can relate to you. Like, you know, you get to this point in life that I'm like, I did everything that they told me to do. I finished school. You said that I have to go to college. We did the college. We need to get a job because that's what we were said to do in society. But that's just not how it works. I went through that. But then at one point, you're like, this is not it. There was something inside of you that was moving you. And thank God for you. It really happened really early on.
Yes. For,
you know.
So now I drop out. So I had to tell my moms this, go through that. Now I'm figuring it out. So fast forward now. This is where it comes into me figuring out what I'm going to do as far as the company.
Yomi?
Yes, hi, Nishan. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
All right.
How are you? Are you ready?
All right, quiet on the set.
I'm ready.
We going in 3, 2... One.
Hey there, Yovi D. It's Craig here from The Whistler. Just want to say hello.
Yovi, I thank you so much for trusting me and for having so much passion.
Yovi D, what is good, girl? I just want to thank you so much for the shout out, no doubt. I appreciate you because you're great.
Hey, Yovi D. Thank you so much for stopping by and giving us some love. That was awesome.
On which one? Shame or Please Don't Date Me?
Please don't take me. I'm curious.
Oh my goodness. I chose
positive vibes here. Congratulations with everything that you're doing. Just keep doing your thing. Keep being you. I love it.
It's mind-boggling in a sense because, yeah, that's just the power of technology.
Hello, hello. Hi, kiddos. This is Jovi D, your friend, a former media corporate in broadcasting and an entrepreneur venturing in podcasting. How are you? How are you? Welcome, welcome. The show is about to start right now.
All
After bathing in the YoVD podcast, take a walk along the wisefingerlab.threadless.com site. Discover the creative side of bedding, t-shirts and shower curtains. Indulge in home decor, wall art, and shoes that make your pantems feel good about themselves. Wisefingerlab.threadless.com, a home for the thinker in you.
Hello, you are listening to the YoVD show. This is T. Drake from God's Gift Through His Word, and I'm coming over to talk about the SoCal Podcast Explosion 2021. We will be having and postponing the SoCal Podcast Explosion 2020 due to what is going on with the COVID-19, but we are going to have it bigger, better, and stronger. So I hope that you will be a part of it. If you want to advertise, if you want to help, please do so. We're going to need a lot of help and a lot of hands. So don't forget, if you're interested, don't forget to contact YoVD so she can put you in contact with me. And don't forget about Pastor Jay, who is always our number one sponsor, and also Dr. K, who is a sponsor that will be a sponsor for 2021 as well coming up. So God bless, and get ready for the SoCal Podcast Explosion 2021.
Before I started doing the company, like, I knew people in the entertainment business. You know, growing up in New York, a lot of that is around you. So I knew people like, you know, like iconic, like hip hop artists, pioneers, stuff like that. So I used to work with different artists and different entertainers. So, so around this time, I was a producer. I was doing music, right? But I knew that wasn't going to be like, that was just like a stepping stone I was looking at, you know?
You were using it to, be known and get known?
Yes, networking. Yes. So now, I almost lost the story. So now, I go to Vegas. No, I get up with my friend. So now, he's like touring and stuff like that. His name's Special Ed. He's an old school hip hop artist. Mm-hmm. So we like doing music and stuff together. He had a studio out in Brooklyn. I used to do music with him. So he was touring. We was in Las Vegas. So when we was in Las Vegas, during the time we was in Las Vegas, it was a trade show going on called the Magic Trade, the fashion trade show called Magic. So I'm there, right? Mm-hmm. And while I'm there, wow. I'm looking around because this is the trade show where it's like, all the fashion brands get to show what's going on the next season. They sell it for the next season. So wow. Now I'm there and I see Reebok. I see the Reebok booth. This is like 2003, early 2003. So now, probably like February 2003. So I'm looking at Reebok and I'm like, there's no traffic going on by the booth. There's nothing going on, right? And I'm thinking, I'm like, you know, I grew up off of Reebok, and I felt like I knew what they was looking for, what they was missing.
They were missing?
Yeah,
they missing. I had Reebok myself. Now,
yeah, you know, everybody grew up off Reebok. So it's like, I went to them, and I said, I don't know what even came over to me to say, you know what, I should go approach them and see if they'd be interested in, like, any marketing consultation. I don't have no company, no cards, and nothing. I just went off a whim, and
check,
I just said,
out.
I Bold just went moves. And said, hey, you know what, have a marketing company, or, you know, we, you know, help out companies with marketing and branding in the fashion business, and, you know, grew up with Reebok, love the Reebok brand. And I think it's potential for you guys, like in the urban market. I think it's stuff, you know, you guys are missing out on. And the guy just goes in. He's like, listen to me the whole time. He just goes in and was like, hey, I'm going to give you the director of marketing's email. Write it down on a piece of paper. Then he was like, here. Whoa. He writes down his phone number. Then he was like, if you can't get in contact with him, contact this guy. This is the VP of marketing. So I'm like, he's giving me all these contacts and hire up like that. I'm like, wow. I'm like, what if I didn't come over here and say anything? So I get back to New York. Yeah, I get back to New York now, and I call. But I already had in my mind like, if they don't get back to me, this was still a sign and for me to keep going forward.
Well, we definitely know something about America. There's a convention for everything, and this set the spark and fire for sure. And you know what, guys? This is getting so good. Sean is going to stay right there. We're going to come back. We're going to come back just right after this break. I know it's getting really, really good. We're going to be right back.
WiseFingerLab.threadless.com. Your brain refrigerator is introducing products that never go bad and inspire creative dishes to feed the body and the brain. How about you wise up and log into WiseFingerLab.threadless.com to discover your next tasty snack?
Yes. Hello, hello. We are back. I am here with my amazing guest.
Sean Lloyd.
Okay, but remind everybody, what do you do, Sean?
I am a fashion executive with over 20 years experience in the business. I have a creative agency that specializes in branding, marketing, design, sales, licensing, celebrity seating. We represent celebrity stylists. We represent celebrity talent, influencers, models. We connect the dots between fashion brands and these entities and help them have a smooth relationship with retailer, with their retailers.
Well, there you guys have it. But we are talking to Sean, the person, the man. Amazing passage of the moment that he decided that. Anyways, you know what? I'm going to stop talking. Sean, take it over.
Okay, I'm trying to remember where we left off at. So going back to Las Vegas. I come back from Las Vegas. I left messages with Reebok. Never got through.
Yes, the guy gave you the VP. And...
yes, all of the information. I knew that was a sign to me.
This is before, was Twitter around at this time?
No social media.
That's what we gotta
put in a factor too. No smartphones.
Really? You had a beeper?
I had a beeper, but that was back in 80s, 90s. But this time this time was flip phones.
Flip phones, okay.
It was the flip phones. It was like the Sprint phone. The Sprint was the latest flip phone everybody wanted. Razor.
Phones.
I remember those. The Razors.
Well, you see, take notes. So this was directly, you had to literally contact this person. You had the information, everything.
Yes, the most, yeah, it was email and instant messenger around that time. So called, I left messages, I emailed, didn't hear nothing back. So now my friend now, who was in the business, he'd been in the business for a few years now.
Yes. You guys now know each other for a while.
Yeah, we've known each other for a while. So yeah, I started this business like around his first brand, say like around 95, 96. So around this time, this is around 2003 now. So it's been some time that passed. He had a few clothing lines, but he had went through the gambit of the business. Of pretty much getting beat up by the business. And he pretty much got robbed out of his clothing line.
We heard one of those stories. Gotcha.
Yeah, so he was one of those people. He had his line taken. I don't want to put out there.
The
business, details. But it was like a known clothing line. Like a lot of these clothing lines. Like the streetwear brands, a lot of them, multiple brands were under one umbrella.
Correct.
So you could see, you know, like how you'll see like a Baby Fat, Fat Farm. That was this era.
Yeah.
So like how they was together, what have you. Then you had other companies that bought up different brands. Once the brand becomes popular, they buy into the brand, and then once they own more shares, then
they buy you, out. Yeah.
They buy you out pretty much.
Yeah.
So that's what would happen, and then it'd be like funny games with like paperwork and stuff like that, forgery. It was a lot of things going on behind the scenes.
Correct.
With a lot of these clothing lines that a lot of people don't know the details about. And they was, you know, supporting the brands, but not knowing a lot of the things that was going on behind the scenes.
What was happening to the actual creators at the time.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah,
here
yeah.
you are waiting for the Reebok people to get back to you.
Yeah, so they never get back. So I thought of an idea. I said, you know what? Just like how I reached out to that company, we could reach out to multiple companies that's probably looking for, you know, outside marketing resources to help them with their brand. And then that way it won't just lock us into just one brand, working on one brand, and it's pretty much just like putting all your eggs in one basket.
Correct.
So we wanted to create multiple baskets. That was the idea I had. And then it came from two, like I was watching what my friend was going through with the business. Cause every time he go through something, he'll let me know. And I was learning the business. So I was learning from pretty much like the mistakes he had made. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I got beat up by the business. And then he kind of like, not like say like gave up, but he was at the point where he was like, you know, I'm cool.
Drained, exhausted.
He was drained. Yeah. So it was this guy. He owned the license for FUBU Kids footwear.
Mm.
So he manufactured, produced, his company designed, manufactured, produced, and sold FUBU footwear for North America. So if you know about licenses, that's pretty much how licenses work.
Correct.
When you look
correct.
At a brand,
Hola, mi familia. Thank you for tuning in to the OVD podcast. Now that you're brain hungry, how about you feed on some wisefingerlab.threadless.com sauce, a shopping meal filled with decor nutrition. Want some style muscles? Let your fingers do the walking and log on to wisefingerlab.threadless.com and give that lean some mean.
Hello, you are listening to the YoVD show. This is T. Drake from God's Gift Through His Word, and I'm coming over to talk about the SoCal Podcast Explosion 2021. We will be having and postponing the SoCal Podcast Explosion 2020 due to what is going on with the COVID-19, but we are going to have it bigger, better, and stronger. So I hope that you will be a part of it. If you want to advertise, if you want to help, please do so. We're going to need a lot of help and a lot of hands. So don't forget, if you're interested, don't forget to contact YoVD so she can put you in contact with me. And don't forget about Pastor Jay, who is always our number one sponsor, and also Dr. K, who is a sponsor that will be a sponsor for 2021 as well coming up. So God bless, and get ready for the SoCal Podcast Explosion 2021.
Looking to invest in your podcast for free? YoVD has a free 15-minute one-on-one podcast course to help you design, produce, and kick off your very own podcast. YoVD is a corporate media consultant and a former TV broadcasting executive that hosts her own shows. She helps people just like you become the masters of their own business adventures. YoVD can help you get started and help you to the finish line. Take control of your media empire now. Go to Instagram at YOVY_D and slide into her DMs. Yes, I said it. Let's get your business branding and podcast out into the world. You have something to say. Let YOVD help you say it.
Yo, what's up, my kiddos? You are now listening to YOVD, straight out of Cali. You want to hear a mellow show? Well, here we go.
They may have someone that'll do their outerwear, someone that'll do their accessories,
correct.
Someone that'll, you know, so do the handbag, whatever like that. These are different companies that
exactly.
could take on the
it
licenses.
Is. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So that was a situation this person had. And they always had a relationship. And every time, like, he would be in between, like, you know, gigs, like with his clothing lines, like he will work back with the, you know, with this guy, Tony. That's his name.
Sean, but let me interrupt. So let me ask you a question. Now that you mentioned licensing, according to what I understand, is basically you are lending your name, your branding, whatever, you're lending your name or trademark to whatever company in order to use it. Do you get anything in return, or are you supposed to get something in return? Like, for example, the music industry, you have music, you get royalties, credits, or does it work the same way in the fashion industry?
Yes, you get it's instead of them paying you, you pay the company. So this is what I was going to get to as well. So you handle all of the costs related to the product category that the company would have taken on. So you're responsible for the designs, for manufacturing, for marketing, everything. You pretty much your own entity. The main brand will give you marketing support because, of course, you're partners now. And you're helping them make money as well, too. So they give you marketing support.
Then it sounds more like franchising.
Yes, it's you could say it's something similar to franchising. Yes, that's pretty much, yes. So say like how you would buy a McDonald's franchise.
Correct.
That's like pretty much like the same thing, same way as of licensing a brand and having the rights to use its corporate logos, entities, design, merchandise, and what have you.
Correct.
Yes. So you have the ability to have like access to their library to use all of these different marketing materials for your business, because now you are part of that entity, and you have to reflect the entity and have like a seamless
you gotta look like flawless. The branding. They cannot tell the difference. Correct. Yeah,
so you just have to go through them far as with like approvals and everything like that. So say like with the McDonald's, they would have someone come through just to see how the setup is made, if the kitchen is up to standard, what have you.
Correct.
You know, cleanliness and what have you. The McDonald's logo, how it's placed, everything like that. It's a science to it.
Yeah, because they're looking for uniformity, you know, that everything looks the same no matter exactly. what. And then, you know, the deal exactly. about it is that around the world, wherever you go, people want the consistency of like, when am I going to order something that is going to pretty much taste the same no matter where I am.
Exactly. So that's the same thing, like, you know, with clothing. So like, say like what I was about to get to as well, what we wind up doing with Coca-Cola. So before I get there, I go to my friend with the idea. He was working with this guy. They had an office like on Fifth Ave, like across the street from like Trump Towers. My okay. friend, he was like, he knows a lot of people in the industry. He knows a lot of big people, like in the game, in multiple different industries, but a lot in the fashion industry. So the guy Tony, he said, you know what, I got an office for you. Just help me out with, you know, XYZ things for like, you know, for the brand, for the sneaker brand, for the kids brand, and you know, I could give you like a base salary and. You don't got to worry about much. It ain't much you got to really do a day and what have you. So he was pretty much cool with that. I kind of was like, because he always inspired me of what he was doing. And the way he had gave up, like kind of was giving up on pursuing, like starting his own brand. I kind of was like, no, you can't really like go out like that. Like, you know, you got to keep it going. Like, you started something, you got to keep it going.
That's the part that's why, you know, you gotta really kind of say it again. Once you go in, you really kind of stick to it, you know.
Yes
it's if like you don't Edison. See immediate results, but obviously you're in the process, you're in the journey of working on something.
Yes so say, like I was going to say like Edison, if he would have gave up after the third time trying to invent the light bulb, we'll all be in the dark. It took him 10,000 times, they say, you know, for him to figure out how to, you know, create the bulb, the first to have electricity.
Yes.
You know, so,
yes.
You know, have lights. So I look at things like that. Like you gotta keep going until you perfect it. So I went to him with the idea of like starting the marketing company, and we pretty much are like independent contractors for different brands. Now we're able to work with multiple brands and then have more leverage in the fashion industry because of the connections we're able to make and just the relationships.
So then you already have a business plan, and the business plan is being executed, is flowing.
So,
I will believe that at this point you have some kind of income coming in, so you guys are kind of seeing your way.
Yeah, so now once we get it started, I went to him with the idea. He just was like, okay, cool, let's do it. And we partnered up. He became my business partner. So he went from being my mentor to being a business partner. Sweet. Like over the years as being a mentor. So now, because I was like fresh new energy, I could look at things from a different perspective. So it's like coming into an industry someone probably got jaded with. But now if you got a whole fresh new energy, it like gives you a whole new life.
Yeah, new right? blood. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now that's what I came and brought to the table. So now the first situation we get is with FUBU, because he's at FUBU. So we get to do a kids ad campaign.
Wow.
Do the kids ad campaign. And pretty much everything was left on me. I had to organize everything. I had like 15 kids in the cold.
Oh
in
my
the playground.
God.
I got to keep them to get, you know, in order. I got to keep, you know, the parents, you know, happy. Everybody, you know, everything running smoothly.
And booking, it was like super, coordinating.
Super, super cold that day.
Yeah.
Super cold. So we did that. And it got through to like FUBU corporate, like to the main, you know, part of FUBU, and they liked what we did with the ad. So they was doing an ad campaign with their footwear for the adults, and they was doing a license with Harlem Globetrotters and a Harlem Globetrotter sneaker. They did a commercial. They shot the first commercial, but they didn't really like how the commercial came out. It looked more like a rap video. Because at the time they were starting FUBU Records, they started doing a lot. They were making
FUBU
money.
FUBU was doing a lot, definitely.
Yeah, they were doing a lot then. So they had these artists, and then they wanted to try to integrate the artists into like the commercial. But then it wasn't really relaying like the sneaker what the commercial was really about. It was like the guys was rapping, and then at the end they showed it was sneaker. It wasn't translating what the product was about, or what the commercial was about. So we get the commercial, they send us the reels, and then we pretty much redid the commercial over. We took like a sample of like the music that they had
Correct.
In the original commercial and Correct. Looped it. And we took old footage of like the Harlem Globetrotters and integrated that. It was like old black and white footage, and we integrated that into the commercial. Give it back to FUBU. They loved it. They wound up running the commercial into like a four part series.
This commercial like with your input. Wow.
Yes, it airs during the NBA finals. During the on national television, so now I'm like, oh wow, this is crazy. So now the momentum, like now, is like something that I saw as an idea. It's coming together now. Now we got two things that we did that went, you know, we had one ad campaign that went to print, and then we had another ad campaign that went to television. So now we on a roll now. Now we got a night, you know, something to work with, to stand right. on, a foundation, as yep. far as like what you guys did already. Well, we did this, you know? So around this time, retro brands was becoming popular.
And even today, they're bringing back a lot of stuff.
Yes, yes, yes.
You
like
know
in 2003,
that.
Yes, I still work with a lot of these brands even today. So now, we was seeing like the resurgence of brands early. You have like the whole sneaker culture with like the customized Air Force Ones, Japanese salvage denim. You know, you have like these, you know, denim companies making like $200, $300 pair of jeans. That was becoming really popular, like within the, you know, like the fashion market and then, like the fashionistas and what have you, you know, the trendy people.
Yeah.
So we seen there was a market there. So in the 80s, a popular brand, clothing brand that was popular in hip hop culture was Coca-Cola clothing. And it sold everywhere. It sold like in major department stores. Coca-Cola
clothing.
Yeah, Coca-Cola clothing. That was, if you look at early hip hop videos, like in the 80s, like Heavy D, Dougie Fresh, stuff like that, from artists like that, you'll see them wearing Coca-Cola. Mm. And that was big, like in the streets of New York.
Yeah.
During the time, the Coca-Cola, it had like, it was hot for like 2 years. Really, really hot for 2 years.
That was the run.
Yeah, that was the run. It was like, this was when in the 80s, you had a lot of fashion brands, a lot of brands coming out. So trends was flipping like every season. It was always something new and something out the door. Something new and something out the door. Oh. So Coca-Cola in the 80s, unbeknownst to us at the time, was designed. One of the head designers was Tommy Hilfiger.
Okay, yes.
This is before Tommy Hilfiger started his brand, because the Coca-Cola brand was popular like in 85, 86.
Mm.
Then it faded out.
Okay.
After that, that's when Tommy Hilfiger brand came about. It's a whole story with that too. Right.
Of course, definitely.
Okay.
Another podcast. This is about you.
So now we go. So one day my partner, he comes to the house, he's like, hey, cause my house was like slash like our office as well, too.
Entrepreneurs.
Back in Brooklyn.
There you go, everything so now, there.
Yeah. So we was brainstorming and I was like the think tank. A lot of people started like just coming to my house. Just to, you know, we sit around in the living room, just come up with ideas and just coming up with just, you know, entrepreneurial ideas that's better
bouncing
ways, you
back
know, get better
ideas,
best ideas yeah, and stuff back. Like that. Mm-hmm. So one day we was at the house and just thinking of ideas of like brands. So I was just thinking, I was like, hey, what if they, you know, we bring back out, what if it'd be cool if we could bring back out Coca-Cola clothing? That'd be crazy. So the light bulb went off. My partner, he's like, yeah, I'm gonna look into this. He starts crying. He gets information to Coca-Cola corporate. Mind you, this is before like social media, the internet is really buzzing like this. So it's somehow he finds corporate phone number. We call through, get through to them. They would say, we get through to them, we pitch the idea. They say, you know, it's funny, we was just having a meeting about this, but we don't know who could be able to execute it. We was just like, we don't know who would be able to execute it.
Oh,
sound like
you guys know what you're doing.
And plus, my partner already had a long track record in the fashion business.
Correct. You guys already
he could name drop a lot of people. You know a lot of people in the business, what have you. So now, they said, it's a person who has a license, and they're based out of New York. You guys, we can set it up where you guys can meet with them and potentially go over something. So we put together a business plan, put together a proposal. We went to Kinko's. We printed out. We spent like $200-$300 on just the presentation.
Putting it together.
Books. Yeah, mm-hmm. We made like 20 books. We took like the best materials they had, everything, best paper, everything, the glossy, like the covers, frost covering. I can still see it. Like the presentation alone, like you can see that we spent money, took time into it. Give it to corporate, they loved it. We have the meeting with the licensee. He had the same idea, but he didn't know how to execute it.
to put it together.
So pretty much we pitched it to them. They loved the idea. And we partnered up with, my company partnered with the licensee and Coca-Cola to create this tier of Coca-Cola clothing. Because at the time, the licensee, he was selling Coca-Cola clothing already, but not on that scale. He was only selling to like Walmart, JCPenney's, stuff like that. See, is what happened.
So,
like pajamas and stuff, like t-shirts.
Right, right, right. So once you guys got into this deal, was that a conflict of interest?
No,
you guys basically
they
were
did,
going, so, you know.
We told them, keep your business with Walmart. You can keep
as
that
it
business.
Is.
Mm-hmm. We're going to create, what Coca-Cola did was created a whole nother distribution tier specifically because of our involvement with this.
Wow.
So now, he could still sell like certain items to like Walmart, like pajamas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't interrupting our business. And you could tell the difference in the quality and the distribution chain. Right. So he say like he was selling T-shirts to Walmart and he was selling T-shirts to them. I'll just give it a base number at $2.50. Right. And Walmart was selling them for $6.97. Right. He was cool because he might buy the T-shirts for like $1.50 and he's just making $1 off of each shirt. But Walmart is buying so much, they might buy 1 million T-shirts.
Correct.
So he know if he spends $1.5 million, right? He's going to make $2.5 million. He's going to make a mechanical million. So he was cool with that. He's like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But we went to him with the idea. We said, you know what? You can still have that business. But now imagine for the price that Walmart is selling the T-shirt for. Imagine we could potentially wholesale a t-shirt three times or 2.5 to three times the amount of what Walmart is retailing the t-shirt for.
Okay.
To potential accounts. So we telling them we could wholesale a t-shirt. It has to be a better fabrication, better material for $18 to $24.
Definitely.
So now he has a wider profit margin. So, of course, he's going to look at that and be like, of course, I want to get in that business. And it doesn't have to interrupt my other business. Sign me up. So that's how the trajectory started. So we wound up doing the campaign for Coca-Cola to the point where we got the co-signing. We wound up getting the co-sign from Tommy Hilfiger himself. Because my business partner knew his brother Andy Hilfiger. So when we closed it, when we was closing the deal with Coca-Cola, we ran into Andy Hilfiger because everyone pretty much works in the garment district or in the same vicinity. We bump into Andy Hilfiger and tell him, hey, guess what? We're about to put out Coca-Cola clothing. He said, oh, wow. He said, congratulations. He said, hey, you know how... That's ironic because my brother used to design the Coca-Cola clothing for the Marjani family. That's who owned the license. So he said, I'm going to tell my brother. He tells Tommy, and Tommy winds up pulling out some of his old designs, some of the marketing materials, and even some of the Coca-Cola rug. He gave us a couple of the original Coca-Cola rugbies from the 80s.
Oh my goodness.
So we take that back to Coca-Cola and they see that. They're like, where you get this from? We're like, we got it from Tommy Hilfiger. And they was like, the deal is closed.
Oh my goodness.
And then we wind up getting Tyson Beckford, supermodel Tyson Beckford, to model and endorse the brand.
Oh yes, Tyson, I know who that is.
Yes. So we got him and they, like everything we was doing was just shocking to Coca-Cola. And they was just wondering how we was able, like the small agency was able to do all of this ourselves. Once we got the samples, we got samples out to like, a good friend of ours, he was the stylist for Bad Boy Records, for P. Diddy, for Notorious B.I.G., Biggie Smalls.
Oh, so already Bad Boy Records was already out in the market.
Yes, okay. Yes. So when they got wind that we was going to be bringing back out Coca-Cola clothing, P. Diddy said, I got to have it. I'll wear it, but I got to be the first one to have it. So, of course, when we got the samples in, we got it to P. Diddy. Now, look how it ties in. He's a cousin of Heavy D.
Oh.
So, and Heavy D was one of the people that wore, one of the early hip-hop pioneers from the 80s that wore Coca-Cola clothing.
Correct. That's why, yeah.
So, that's why it was, and then, like, people that was, you know, that grew up during the era, always like stuff from the era, like nostalgic stuff that was being reintroduced into the market. Cause it's part of your, you know, your childhood growing up, your teens or when you're in high school, college. So you like see certain brands, you're like, oh, I gotta have that. I gotta wear
this. Yes.
So it did, especially like with, you know, with him and his image, he always wants to be the newest and latest. So he knew that would be a good look for him to be wearing Coca-Cola clothing. People would be asking, oh, Coca-Cola got clothing. They're coming back out with clothing. And it'll be a win-win for both of us.
Check you out. Coca-Cola clothing fashion. I honestly, that information, I kind of like knew. But I think obviously my awareness is like the things that the other licensing person that you mentioned had. Like, you know, the t-shirts, things like the certain iconic memorabilia, but I never knew about the upscale side of that new clothing line that you were doing.
Yes. So we wound up doing that for Coca-Cola. We did it for them for a couple of years.
That's a big account.
Yes. That was an amazing experience. I threw a party in Las Vegas. And how ironic is this? I can't forget this part. The same place where I thought of the idea for the company, right?
Right.
We wind up going back because that is a part of the business to do the trade shows and the convention in Las Vegas. Yes. They do them in New York and in Las Vegas. The East Coast shows is in New York and then the West Coast shows is in
wow, what a full circle Las Vegas. Moment.
Full That's circle like... moment. And I'm in Las Vegas and I'm in charge. I'm putting because I handle all of the marketing on top of the creative direction. So we was doing a party in Las Vegas, and at the time the TV show, the HBO show The Wire was popular.
Oh my goodness.
And I got a newly budding actor, two of them from the show, the stars of the show, Hassan Johnson, who played Weebe. I got him to host the show, host the party. And for the DJ, guess who the DJ was?
Who was the DJ? Oh my God.
Idris Elba.
What?
That was the DJ.
We're going to have to go. No, hold on a second. We're going to have to go on a break. I think this show definitely demands for part two. We're going to allow Sean to take a sip, you know, and then I'm going to take a little water break and we're going to be back. Part two.
Hello, hello. You are currently listening to the Joby D Show. Stay tuned. Stick around.
Alrighty. I am here. We are here. This is part two with my new favorite guest. Go ahead.
Sean Lloyd.
Alrighty. So, where do we pick up, Sean? You discover young Idris Elba.
Yes, Idris Elba. He DJ'd the party. the Coca-Cola party in Las Vegas. That was his first time in Las Vegas. I remember asking, it was both of their first time. I asked, I said, you guys been in Las Vegas before? He was like, oh no, that's our first time. I was like, oh wow. We had so much fun. That weekend was crazy. But this was early, when the show was early, still knew it was like the hottest show on TV. And this is before people even knew he had an English accent. So we bring him to the trade show. We got into the booth. So everyone is coming to the booth. They want to meet them. Of course, they want to try to get some ends on what's going on, because it was almost at the season finale. Of course, they couldn't talk about that, but you know, people just want.
But this is the first season of The Wire.
No, this was the second season.
Second season of The Wire. Okay.
This is the second season of The Wire. It was a good season. It was a good season.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now, I mean, all the seasons was great, but this was like a real action-packed season. A lot was going on this season. So the show went great. At the same time, too, while we was working at Coca-Cola, it's a lot. I discovered a cognac company. It was out of France, and they were distributed by Remy Martin. And at the same time, we was working with Remy Martin. We had Remy Martin as an account too.
Or this brand. So recapping, we're gonna recap a little bit here. So basically, Sean, imagine there's a lot of things going on. Sean is like working with the account with Coca-Cola. He already kind of cross paths with what we know as Diddy today, P. Diddy. And then, you know, you coming across with this new account with spirits and liquor. So yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, so kind of ran into that by accident. But I was looking at it like anything related to like hip hop culture, we could market it. Around this time, this is when you were seeing what was going on with alcohol, like alcohol and spirit brands that was like blowing up overnight. So you had like the song right before, you just had a song that came out.
You have a dog.
Past the Cavartier, right?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's basically was the pinnacle of bringing music and liquor together. Yes.
So they had it where they was known, where they was like, even in France, they knew, they was like, hey, you want a brand to blow up? You gotta just get a rapper. Just get a rapper to talk about it. Ironically, I had ran across this brand, like the bottle, it just looked it like real exquisite. It just looked it like it was quality. I had seen a hip hop artist I knew drinking it. A guy named Still. He's from a group called Smith and Wesson. I was they was doing an event in Manhattan. And I had seen him with the bottle, and I was like, what is that? And he's like, I don't know. I just liked it, the bottle. And he's like, and it tastes good. I said, taste it. I'm like, okay. I say, my dog is going crazy.
And your doggy has to say something
I might have to do so. He might tell me he has to go outside or something like that.
It's his walking time.
It's not really his walking time. I don't know why he's acting like that right now. But, so let me see if I can get through this real quick.
Yeah.
So I see the bottle. This story is crazy right here too in itself.
Hello, happy podcasters. YoVD and wisefingerlab.threadless.com. Thank you for tuning in. After your podcast indulgence, how about some wisefingerlab.threadless.com dessert? Visit wisefingerlab.threadless.com to discover gifts, apparel, and home decor ideas that will make your mind spin and spin your pocket happy.
Hello, you are listening to the YoVD show. This is T. Drake from God's Gift Through His Word, and I'm coming over to talk about the SoCal Podcast Explosion 2021. We will be having and postponing the SoCal Podcast Explosion 2020 due to what is going on with the COVID-19, but we are going to have it bigger, better, and stronger. So I hope that you will be a part of it. If you want to advertise, if you want to help, please do so. We're going to need a lot of help and a lot of hands. So don't forget, if you're interested, don't forget to contact YoVD so she can put you in contact with me. And don't forget about Pastor J, who is always our number one sponsor, and also Dr. K, who is a sponsor that will be a sponsor for 2021 as well coming up. So God bless, and get ready for the SoCal Podcast Explosion 2021.
I find the bottle, right?
Yeah.
I wind up going to the liquor store. Like after the event, I told my partner about it. We went to a fancy liquor store. We found it in Manhattan. I see it. I said, "Oh, there it goes." It looked like it was the bottle was just shaped differently from all any other type of bottles ever seen before. So gravitated to it. Had the etching in the bottle. Just looked like quality. So we wound up getting the information of the people that was importing that was distributing the product in the U.S. They was based in Florida. We called them. Just like how Coca-Cola knew they or felt like they needed someone that was from the urban market that knows or who understands the urban market and knows how to translate the product to the consumer. That was the same conversation they was having. We just happened to call them right after that. So now they was like, we were just having this conversation. We need somebody like you guys. We're like, yo, look at this. They said, matter of fact, the guy who owns the company, he's in Manhattan right now. Guess where this guy is at? He's around the corner from the office my partner uses.
Towers.
Around the corner from Trump Towers. And at the time, when we started our business, we had got an accountant who my partner was friends with, Bert Padell. Rest his soul.
Okay, that was your accountant.
That was the
accountant. So he had an office there.
Yeah, Bert Padell is the accountant to the stars. Like, he's the accountant to everybody. Like, he's been in the music entertainment business since the 70s. So everybody you could think of, he did some type of paperwork from or type of brokering of deals or accounting for. I'm talking about...
He's the accountant.
Yeah, I'm talking about from back 70s since Dance Fever, movies like that, like Batman soundtracks. He's a big, big person in the business. Big person in the business. Right.
Fascinating.
Everybody. Matter of fact, his office was an entire floor. The person.
Wow, that's how big of.
And you couldn't even see the original paint on his wall. That's how much plaques he had on the wall. Dude, he's a whole movie in itself. But he was a key component because our involvement with him and him handling our books and setting up our business and everything like that, and being a pseudo kind of business consultant, that's what made these corporations even more comfortable with doing business with us, because they seen the type of people we had in our corner. Because if it was just us, it would have been a little harder. But they seen they already know these people. They Burp and Dell is okay, we don't have to worry about your books not being able to, because you got one of the top accountants ever, so it's okay. And he's connected to the stars, Britney Spears, Alicia Keys, everybody he's working with, right?
So consulting becomes another branch of the whole business.
Yes. So we do that for the Remy Martin. So now the guy said the person is around the corner from us, basically staying at the Parker Meridian Hotel, which is across the street from our accountant's office. He's around the corner from us and across the street from the accountant office. We got this. So we go to the Parker Meridian. We go and ask the front desk, get his name. They give us his hotel room. They call upstairs. We made it made it seem like it was some type of emergency. Call upstairs. He's not answering. He's not answering. We don't give up. What we do, my partner, we write a letter and slide the letter under his door. Mm-hmm. We get upstairs in the hotel, write a letter, and slide the letter under his door. About an hour and a half after that, we get a phone call from him. He's like, where you guys at? We like, we're around the corner. He said, do you got time for a meeting? And that's how that started.
We surely do.
Kind of find right out now. He was the master. I didn't even know they had this. He worked for Remy Martin. He was the master blender for Remy Martin. He made Remy Couture. He's the one that makes the alcohol. Like the concoction, he makes it, the blending. He's the master blender. That's what they call the person who makes the spirit.
Wow.
I didn't even notice. He worked with Remy Martin. Remy Martin wanted to back the brand because the brand was like high end. Like their VS was 8 years old. Yes. VSOP was 16 and the XO was 32 years old. So that in itself made it stand on its own. So we got this high quality product. We're working with Remy Martin. So when the Remy Martin family used to come in, say like we dealt mostly with like the brothers, like two brothers and the daughters, the father.
How interesting that these businesses are, yeah, like you said, well, I think even though that you've been in partner with your friend, you guys are not related, but how interesting when you delve into all of these businesses, they're like family related.
Yeah, you know? The name of the family.
Your partner is like a brotherhood, then. Yeah, that you build.
After going through all of this, and it's like it becoming like a snowball effect. So the name of the Remy Martin, the people who own Remy Martin, because they own a bunch of brands. So they call it, their name is the Bros. So every time they used to come into New York, we have dinner with them. It was like amazing, like the most top restaurants in New York. They basically would tell us, hey, pick out the restaurants. So we'll go and find like the most top restaurants, most expensive restaurants, pick that. Oh yeah, that sounds good. I heard about that. And we go there. So that was a good way for me to even get around New York, like the whole restaurant scene and stuff, off of Remy Martin's tag. So thank you, Remy Martin, for that. Thanks the Bros for that. That experience thank right you. There. Yeah.
So Sean, you will say that really honestly, business will take part outside of what we think that business should do. That business is a mindset.
Yes, it's a mindset, and it's also part of you. It becomes you physically almost.
Gotcha.
You know, it becomes your entire body. It's like what I live and breathe business. I don't know how not to not work.
Yeah, because when you're telling us the story, it's like, it sounds easy, even though I'm like consciously, I'm like, no, it was not easy for him. But he continued persisting. Just
because my thing is like, where I'm coming from, I didn't have nothing to lose.
Exactly.
The worst thing they could say is no. Mm-hmm. The worst thing they can say is no. So even wrapping it up into a bow. So we wind up leaving Coca-Cola. At the time, my partner, he was joking. He was like, hey, what if we go to Pepsi? Because we had like a differences in issues creatively, not even with Coca-Cola corporate, but more with the licensee we had partnered with. Right?
Correct.
So now we wind up leaving because our name is on the line. We pretty much brought him into our business world. He was in apparel, but he didn't deal with the world we dealt with and the connections and everything like that. He was dealing with Walmart. The type of accounts we was dealing with were, we were starting to get the brand. Yeah, we were starting to get the brand into Barney's, Bloomingdale's, Macy's, stuff like, you know, stores like that. More higher end stores because of the type of designs and the production that went into it. So now we got like cashmere sweaters, $200 jeans, $200, $300 jeans, salvaged denim, Made in USA. It was, you know, so it was a lot that went into it. It wasn't like we just slapped Coca-Cola on stuff and said, hey, we selling this Coca-Cola t-shirt. It was a lot of creativity that went into it, like to translate the brand into clothing, you know. So we wound up.
So at this time, you only still have an office in New York. You're not.
Oh, we had an office
in California or LA.
We had an office in. We had the Coca-Cola apparel office, and then we opened up another office for the cognac brand we was working with.
So you have an account.
We had two offices at once, as a matter of fact. We was doing a lot. We was moving at hyper speed. So now we wind up leaving Coca-Cola. We still working with the Remy Martin company. And mm-hmm. then my partner came up. He was like, what if we went to Pepsi with this? Well, like the same thing we did with Coca-Cola, we would go to Pepsi. And I was like, I don't know if I want to go through the whole, you know, soda brand. And I like, I don't know how to translate it to Pepsi. It was like with Coca-Cola, I was going off of something because that was something popular during the 80s. So pretty much, you know, we was recreating. We had a foundation we was going off of. But Pepsi clothing did come out a little bit after Coca-Cola clothing. And it had like this little minute, right? But then it faded out.
Right. I remember that about Pepsi and, you know, our obviously Michael Jackson and a couple of them, you know, Pepsi with music had a correlation.
I think about this the other day. I was telling this story too, and I forgot when I was telling the person the story. You just reminded me when you said the Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson and Pepsi.
We went to Pepsi. Long story short, we go to Pepsi now. My partner convinced me, hey, what do we got to lose? We go to Pepsi. Go to Pepsi. Pepsi said, hey, matter of fact, we've been looking for you guys for a couple of years now.
Oh, my God.
We said, what? They're like, looking for us for a couple of years. They was like, yeah, we was wondering who was doing that for Coca-Cola. Who was doing all this cool stuff for Coca-Cola. And, of course, that's their competition. So they're getting right. a market. They're getting an edge in the market by them having an apparel brand because it all translates into marketing. You see cool people walking down the street. They never really care about the clothing or what they made off the clothing. At the end of the day, they just was concerned with selling syrup.
Awareness.
Yeah, awareness. Yeah. So cool people wearing Coca-Cola clothing walking down the street, subconsciously, you would go home. You'll see this person with the sweater. Oh, Coca-Cola clothing. I know they make clothing. Oh, wow, that's a cool sweater. Whatever. Right? You go home.
Right.
And now suddenly, it may not happen later that instant, or late. It might happen later that day or tomorrow. You have a craving for Coca-Cola because yes. they know psychologically that was what that can do to the potential consumer. That's a moving billboard.
Oh yeah, science definitely proven. Yes.
So they. That's why they were so adamant about that program being successful as well. So now when we walked away, they was kind of like, hey, what's going on and this, but it was a lot of business things going on. Like the guy, the person we partnered with, the company we partnered with who had the Coca-Cola license, like he was kind of teetering on losing the license too because of financial issues that was going on. Like even though he was making money, it still was, he had a lot of other licenses and stuff that was going on. It wasn't just Coca-Cola.
So when he comes again, also, okay, coming back to that topic, licensing means that also you have the license for a certain amount of years?
Yes.
For a certain period of time? You can say
like 4 years. The average is like 4 years. That's usually the norm, 4 years for apparel. And then you get territories. So usually like...
regionals. Okay.
U.S., it's that's North America. So you're allowed to sell a product in North America, but you can't sell it anywhere outside of there.
Correct.
So we're
still in New York.
Still in New York. Go to Pepsi. We go to Pepsi. They say, hey, we've been looking for you guys. They pull out the desk and throw on the desk the lookbook we made with Tyson Beckford.
Oh my goodness.
They said, you guys did that? And we was like, yeah. They be like, oh, you the guys who did that, right? We like, yeah. Oh, wow. What did you do with Coca-Cola stuff like in the Pepsi office? Like, well, that's weird. And then it's like, you really was like spying on us, kind of, right? Or that trying to figure out who it was, right? So long story short, the woman that we got in contact with, she found us because... It was so much of a thing that she wound up getting a promotion for finding us, got a promotion, and then she left and started to run licensing for the Trump organization.
Oh, wow.
Just off of all of that. Then she turned around and offered us the Trump license after that. Like we had the contractual agreement on our desk for like a month. For a while it was like damn near like a coffee coaster. Because we was getting so much licenses thrown at us that, and then the Pepsi was becoming so overwhelming that it was hard to even, because we would have to get the financing for it and everything like that. But Trump, my partner was like, if we get the license, would Trump come to Vegas to the trade show, to the magic show? She said, ask her. Speak to her next time, speak to her. She was like, oh yeah. And Trump said he'll go. You don't have to pay him. He'll go. We like, he'll come to the booth. We like, if he come to the booth, that'll be crazy. This is before any people, political, whatever
exactly
people
before
is.
Anything, but he was a marketer.
Yeah, he was a marketer, billionaire, sure. New York City. People are, you know, it's like everybody aspiring to be in that realm. Yeah. When you use like, you know, like, a metaphor, a simile, like Trump, getting money like Trump, whatever like that, right? So just to even have that, that was like crazy for us to even have that opportunity to work with Trump. But he was like, I'll come, but you guys got to pay for my jet fuel. You don't got to pay me, but you got to just pay for my jet fuel. And you know, jet fuel, a round trip, that could have been up to like $50,000. But he did offer it. He did offer to come. So I could never knock him for that. Whatever people may think, we're a black company, black agency, and this guy didn't see no color with that. I'm just saying. I'm just putting anything, you know, politically based behind this is just a, you know, something that was part of. And I feel like I had this weird degree of separation because. Even going back to the Trinity Prep, that's where his kids went to school at. Of course, I'm a little older than him, so I was like, that was just a weird degree of separation of having that. But anyway, we went to Pepsi, right? And Pepsi was like, before all of that, Pepsi, they said, you know what? We've been looking for you guys. We've been looking for who done this. And if you guys want to take the license, we'll give you the license. So now we have the license. It's no partner up with anyone else. It's all us. So now we got much more of a responsibility now.
Another big account.
Another big account. Wow. But this is a different ball game because no minority on that level, that age, we were in our 20s to have a license that big, because those are like the biggest licenses you can have.
Yeah,
Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Star Wars, Lego.
Big names.
Those is big licenses. They don't care about money. You could come with a bag full of money and dump the money on the table. It doesn't mean nothing. It's still a protocol you have to go by for them to even accept that money. You had to be in business for actually, it's a lot of clearance you have to go get past before you can even do business with them. It's not about the money. They don't care about
so.
So now okay. To even go, I'm gonna fast forward even past that. So me and his business partner, we wind up breaking ties, doing business together. That was a story. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a whole story in itself of what happened. We could probably talk about that another time more in detail. So after that, I was like, me and my cousin at the time, we was like, we wanted to open the store. We wanted to do it in Brooklyn, but then I kind of, at the time, with some things that happened, I had a friend that passed away, just like some
life happens.
And I went on a trip with my cousin to where he moved. We're both from Brooklyn. He moved to Rhode Island, Newport, Rhode Island. I wound up going to Rhode Island to Newport. I'm like, oh, this place is beautiful in Newport. And mm-hmm. he's like, yo, we could do the store here. So I wound up moving to Newport, opened the store there. The store was open for 7 years. Oh, after wow. living there, but I was still running the marketing company from Newport because it's only 3.5 hours away from New York. Whenever I could just drive in and out whenever I needed to, and I could still do the trade shows and what meetings. Have you. And yeah. now the internet is becoming more prominent. And people are becoming more up to speed.
Oh, now it's
yeah, so
up.
That's
okay,
2006, 2007. And I start to realize that I don't need to be in people's face like that to do business anymore. I started to see that you could be remote and start doing business. So this was like 2006, 2007 when I moved to Newport. Then after that, like when I started to see where things was going with retail and the downhill right. slope with retail, I got out of that early. Yeah. That goes back to me telling you earlier how I see trends coming early and I know how to dip out of it.
Right, so because you were an observer.
Yes. So mm-hmm. I started to go online early with online businesses.
Oh, e-commerce. So
yes, I was doing the vintage thing early. I had vintage sites and what have you. And I knew then, I said, you know what? I'm going to have to move to California. My body was just telling me that, like, it's time for you to go.
Really?
There now. I always knew I was going to move to California, to move to LA, but I just didn't know exactly when. So now when I was in Rhode Island, I got the feeling, and then I had the opportunity from a friend of mine, from the neighborhood I grew up in. He was also a person that was heavy in the music industry and stuff early. And he was living out here. He was one of the early friends that moved out to California early. Him and a few other friends. So he'd been living out here for like over a decade already. Well over a decade.
Okay.
So that's what made it like almost like 15 years. So that's what made it. Man, he was like, you could come out. You could stay with me until you get everything in order, get your place, whatever like that, get situated. And that's how it happened. Yeah. And that's how I ended up in L.A.
You landed
yeah,
over
and
here.
That's a whole nother story here. Because when I got to L.A., that's when I changed the name. That's when the name was changed to Fashion Mansion Group.
Gotcha.
So that's when the company became, that's as it's known today.
Are you still with the same accountant? are you still with the same
No, he
accountant?
Passed away. Burt Padel.
His firm is still
When Bert gone, that's all.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
All of that went.
Really? Yeah. It's one of those kind of business. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Because he was the main core of the attraction of the business. It was Bert. It was all his contacts. It was everything. It wasn't like he had partners and stuff like that. You know, I know he had he was involved with a bank, Signature Bank. He was a partner in that bank. That's like a corporate bank. So you can only be a corporation. You have to have over a certain amount of money to put in to even start an account with the bank. So being that we was his client, we was able to have a corporate account with the bank, the Signature Bank, which would have been much harder yes. if we didn't have that. Then you have to have a certain amount of money in there to open it, what have you. So he was very much tied in with a lot of things and very, very, very influential. Into what we did, and just even in the music business, in a whole. So I owe him a lot. Definitely owe him a lot.
Oh, definitely. I'm sure that you learn a lot from Devin. So you're now here in LA, and how long you established here yourself in California?
I've been here for 7 years.
Almost the same. Okay.
I've been here for 7 years. Yep, and it's been and that's a whole another podcast episode. I gotta tell you about the trip here.
Yeah, oh, definitely. But definitely.
Yes, I think my dog keep telling me he wants to go out. I gotta take him out. He's gonna keep barking.
Yeah. So, well, I really thank you for taking your time sharing this with us.
I appreciate it.
I'm gonna put all this information. Yeah, doggy has to step out and. Okay, well, thank you so much, Sean. See you guys in the next episode.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Let your fingers do the walking and head over to wisefingerlab.threadless.com. Investigate gift ideas, apparel, and home decor that your fingers can be proud of. Did you know 4 out of 5 people use their fingers to do the talking? So go ahead, swipe us. I dare you. Wise up and visit wisefingerlab.threadless.com, because sometimes you just know stuff.
All right. Everybody say, okay, I like the Jovi D show, so where can I find you? You can find me on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. I'm also on Twitter. And I also am on YouTube. But stop by and say hi. And of course, we have the Anchor app where you can leave us a message. Leave me a message with your wonderful, amazing voice, because I know it is. And I'll get back to you. Ciao, ciao, kiddos. Man, you got stories.
Yeah, I'm. It's a lot of other detail. I'm just paraphrasing stuff too.
Yeah.
To get to it, it's a lot.
All right. Yeah. Well, you still haven't made it to California yet. Part two.
I'm still having.
You have not transferred me, there you go, and we're gonna go in. I want to close it, and I want to try to call you because I have 40 minutes of recording.
Okay. Yeah, we could do a part two. We could come back.
I'm going to just dial you back.